Will he tip the card?
I know I've said it before, but given the series of events that leads me into your studio today, Michael, I think there is something happening. There's something in the air.
We'll tip the card here.
I'll tip the card this weekend.
Mick Sharkey joins Racing Pulse to preview the big races in Friday Form Focus.
Ah, yes, it is that time of the week, Friday Form Focus, where we dissect all the good things from the weekend. And it is fair to say that we are in the midst of winter. It is a dreary, cold, wet Friday. We're going to find out how much rain has fallen at Flemington, because it's a nice little meeting tomorrow, Shark. I quite like a couple. A little bit less interest up north, just Ipswich Cup Day, nothing to really rattle the cage.
Poor Ipswich.
Well, I'm not... There's a couple of nice races, but we've dropped off from Stradbroke Day.
There's no, Ipswich is not exactly your Port Douglas, you know, six-star resorts. That's why you're off Ipswich. You know, you've always been a little bit of a nose in the air. Sort of. No, you do.
Ipswich would be your hotel motel compared to what we had last week.
Oh, hello to everyone from Ipswich this morning.
I'm not talking about the location. I'm talking about the quality of the meeting.
Motel. Ipswich is a motel.
It's a three-star compared to a five-star. Oh. You can't argue with that, Sharky. Ipswich Cup and an eyeliner compared to a Q22 and a Stradbroke and a JJ Atkins. How can you compare?
Where's Michael from Brisbane when we need him?
Hey, I'll tell you who we do need to hear from.
He's probably from Ipswich.
I tell you who we do need to hear from, and that is our friend Josh from Horsham, who we put the challenge out to Josh last week. He had a win. So, Josh, text us in. And at the end of the program, if you are around, you can go head-to-head with Shark on your best bet. And if you can take Shark, which, let's be honest, a lot of feedback...
It's not hard.
...does say that you will...
It is not hard.
...we'll find a special little prize. It may be something that we will do each and every week if we can get a sponsor, if you're listening out there, to take on the Shark. We'll find
one of our listeners
each week. What do you make of the Flemington card tomorrow?
It's a winter program. There's no doubting that. There are a couple of races there that have quality handicap next to their name, and you look at them and thinking, "Well, where's the quality?" We're into the off season now. We are deep in the off season. There are one or two horses that I'm particularly interested in seeing. Kurabui,
absolutely,
is one of them.
What about Canaan coming? That's a ripper race. Canaan coming back. You've also got De Graves.
Yeah.
And then you've got the XWA horse in the last race. You've got Dice Roll, Rubisaga. I think there's a lot to be interested in.
There's
tomorrow.
A few horses there. Look, a lot of those that you just mentioned are resuming. So we don't know exactly where they're at just yet. But we'll all be watching carefully and listening to those mounting yard gurus around the place, Warren Huntley's and Jane Ivels and the like, to see what they think on social media and telly and whatnot. Because, there are some nice horses returning tomorrow.
Weather and the conditions of the track will be all important. Let's have a chat to Liam O'Keefe, who was out at headquarters this morning. Hello, Liam. How are you?
Good, thanks, Michael.
How much rain has hit Flemington overnight and this morning?
Yeah, so we've had 4 mil this morning. It's just easing off now. So, certainly fairly wet going around this morning underfoot, and that's left us on a soft 7.
Is there more rain predicted tomorrow, or should it be a pretty clear day?
Should be a clear day. However, there is a few more showers forecast throughout this afternoon. So as long as we don't get too much more today, we should stay in that soft 7 range. No drying, though, although it should be fine tomorrow. There's no wind at all over the next 24, 48 hours. So fairly still conditions. So I'd expect it to hold in the soft range.
When was the last time we had a soft 7 or 8 at Flemington?
No, it wasn't that long ago, actually. It was only in May.
Was it off?
Yeah, I can't remember if it was Ramsden Day or the week after, but certainly there's a bit of wear and tear out there. Pushed the rail out to 11 metres, so it covers most of the wear around the home turn. In the straight, there's some marking on the inside 5 metres, so I'd expect the horses to start on the fence early in the day and then edge their way off as the day progresses.
With the rail at 11, what's the usual profile for pattern of the day?
You would think it would be a lot more on speed, but it's actually not too bad. It's probably the last two times we've had the rail out that far, they've been straight course meetings. We've had strong east northeasterly winds, so I've had a big tail wind. So it's certainly different conditions today, and it should play fine. It's been racing well, so I don't expect any more different tomorrow.
Do you like anything tomorrow?
I like Hacky each way in the staying at $13. So, we'll have a go at that each way tomorrow.
All right, a little each way play on Hacky. Good on you, Liam. We'll touch base tomorrow morning.
Thanks, guys.
Liam O'Keefe out there. So, genuine soft seven. How's that fit in with your form that you've done?
I was sort of thinking it'd be more of a soft five, soft six. So I might have to adjust a little bit later on. But it does augur well for a horse I've got a little interest in, Michael, which we'll get to a bit later on. It might be having a swan song of sorts.
Well, I think he needs a bit more than a soft seven, your horse. We'll get there a little later. Is there any danger Shark can be a great white today rather than a gummy? RSN listeners need a lift from the great man. Come on, Shark. That is from Gossie.
Gossie, just a little winners last week.
A little inspiration for you here, Sharky.
I don't record them all because it's been
there's another
so
one.
Many
Where's
over
Josh?
The
Who is this Shark?
Do you know what's been great over the last month, Miguel? And we were talking about this earlier in the week. These random Friday selections from listeners, it's gained some traction, and we've created little profiles here from Josh from Horsham and Special from Noosa and the like. Some have been more successful than others, I will say that, but I think it's been a bit of fun, hasn't it?
Well,
during this off season we might have to create a little rivalry between a few of these punters.
Well,
out
I think
there.
The rivalry is with you, Shark, because a
well
lot
you
of
need to have rivalry
that
from the other side for that to occur. And
so if we hear
fairly
from Josh,
easy going these days,
he may take you on at the end. Get into the first
that
race.
That sounds good.
Let's get into the first. We take out number 10, and this is the Rod Johnson handicap.
Roddy.
Over 1420 metres. Rod Johnson, former chairman, I think he was, of the VRC. Forbidden City, PJ Moody, J Carr is the favourite, PG Moody even, at $3.40. Secret Glamour was very good on debut at $3.60. And Somewhat Fabulous is an interesting runner from the Richard Jolly stable. We'll have a chat to Richard a little later because he's got two really, really nice chances heading to headquarters tomorrow. If you missed Moods, other than him jumping on his soapbox about Sandown and...
That was good, wasn't it?
I love the passion. It was brilliant. This is what he had to say about Forbidden City yesterday.
She's a nice filly. Penny's just starting to drop with her. She's always shown us good ability, but she's been a bit backward in everything she's done. But that run at Geelong the other day certainly brought her on. And drawn a bit sticky, unfortunately. Like from a good gate, I would have seen her being very hard to beat off the back of what she's done at home. But she's a nice filly going forward. I think she's got a good metropolitan stakes sort of class ability going forward. Is Saturday still going to be a learning curve for her? Probably yes, but I'm still hoping that ability might get her home.
It's a good push from Moods. He thinks she's stakes class. Little concern about the gate, though.
The gate is tricky, but there's ability there. I love these late-season two-year-old races, especially when we start getting out to 1,400 metres, because I like racing stayers, middle-distance horses, and you start to see some of these young staying types that we might see on the other side of winter, heading towards Derbies and Oaks and whatnot. And you've got Dennis Pagan rolling out of Tavachi out of a Zabil mare. You've got James Cummings and Godolphin producing a Golden Horn colt, Bon Vivant.
Has it shown you anything?
There's something there, but I think he's going to need ground, as you would expect on that pedigree as well. Trent and Natalie down at Cranbourne with a well-bred Savabil out of a Galileo mare. So there's plenty of interest in this two-year-old race. Do I want to bet in it? Probably not. From a better draw, I'd have Forbidden City on top. I think she's shaping like the ideal sort of 1,400, 1,600-metre horse, and I can see that there could be some listed Group 3 class talent there over a mile as a three-year-old. So I'm interested in what she can do. Secret Glamour, the favourite, like soft seven. It's one in the ground. That Cranbourne win was fairly dominant. I will say that the market didn't exactly love it, 420 to 550. There wasn't mad confidence about it there. And you can say the same about Somewhat Fabulous in Adelaide. Like it was 13 bucks into 10s. There was a nibble and then out to 16s. But usually if Richard and Chantel Jolly horses favoured, that market support continues. So it's a curious race, the first. I'd have Forbidden City on top, but not betting.
All right, so it's $3.40 favourite, but maybe tread warily there because of the barrier. We'll hear what Richard has to say a little later about Somewhat Fabulous, who had all the favours on debut, but it was really good, and it's drawn to get a similar run tomorrow. So the first at Flemington, Might be a watch and wait. The second is the Adam Lindsay Gordon handicap. A lot of punters think this could be one of the better bets of the day. That is South Pacific.
Really?
Another one for Jay Carr. Got knocked from pillar to post by the stablemate in the Warrnambool Cup. He then came out and spread eagled them at Flemington a couple of weeks ago. It's the $3.40 favourite. Mastered Shirt, South Aussie, was really good last start at Flemington. Fanciful Toff from the Matty Kamani stable is at $9. There's a couple here from the Paul Pushka stable at odds that I'm a little interested in. I thought Sinanica was brilliant, winning earlier in the week. And then the Swan Hill Carnival. And then Vivid Red Skies, another one from the Pushka stable at $10. And Hacky at $13. Who do you like here, Sharknado?
Nothing.
Nothing?
This is a pretty ordinary race. South Pacific, yes, he was unlucky at Warrnambool. But have a look at his body of work since he's been in Australia. Like, ugh. He's barely getting out of his own way in some of these races. He hasn't set the world on fire. Let's be honest. His best performance to date was this time last year when he ran third to Exemplar over 2,800 metres and never really looked like he was going to win. This horse has not gone on from its European form. It beat Constantinople at Royal Ascot back in 2019. We have not seen anything like that effort here. Jamie Carr might be the answer. She's a freak jockey. They run for her. She can turn horses around. I get it. But there is no way on earth I could back South Pacific with any degree of confidence. None. Hacky is the best horse in this race. Two start to go, 2,000 metres, soft seven, Flemington. He ran really, really well. He was disappointing last start. That's the concern. You're backing him off a poor run. Maybe he needs giving the ground these days. Maybe that's the answer. But I think there are quite a number of horses in this race. If they're going to win again, it'll be over the jumps.
You could say there are excuses for Fanciful Toff. Pulled up with a little issue last start. I think it was a throat issue.
New stable.
Matt Kamani trains these stays very well at $9. And have you got no interest in Sinanica? I know it's a jump up in class, but gee, looks like he's got a lot of staying potential.
There's something there. There's something there for sure. And maybe he's the one. I know just look at it and think, three starts ago, you run a benchmark 58. Is this the progression? Is this as bad as this race is? That's what I'm probably thinking at the moment. From a Swan Hill 64, albeit nearly four lengths, is this race that bad? This horse can leap out of a 64 and win an open handicap at Flemington. I don't know if the race is that bad, and I don't know if Sinanica is that good, if you know what I mean. Hacky would be on top. Listen, I might have a little speculative each way bet at $13.
On Hacky?
Maybe.
Okay, well, you and...
Let me sleep on it.
Liam O'Keefe are in the Hacky camp.
Well, see, you tag in Liam O'Keefe sometimes, and he delivers. I've got a mate called Liam O'Keefe, who was absolutely bloody useless on the punt. But Liam O'Keefe, the track manager, a different story. He can land one. He can land one.
There's a few SMSs coming through here, Sharknado. Build a bank. Back Artesian Lass at Geelong today.
Oh, yeah. This is what we want.
$8, massive overs.
Massive overs? Who's that from?
From the Hill.
Horse from the Hill. Good to have you, horse.
Artesian
Johnny
Lass
Longmire
today
tuning
at,
in.
Geelong. If Hacky's on top, they're all in trouble. Good morning, man.
But that's true. That's the sort of race it is. If South Pacific is on top, they're all in trouble. That's where we're at with this race.
Oh, have a look at this. This is your friend Special, who's laying down the gauntlet to Josh, who we haven't heard from as yet. Special from Noosa. After a couple of rough weeks, I had a good idea. Special from Noosa and Josh from Horsham go head-to-head in a tip-off. $100 buy-in, winner takes all.
Money on the line.
At least one of us might actually make a profit for once. Need Shark to facilitate the tip-off. A match race like Seabiscuit and War Admiral. I like your passion.
I like it, Special. He was... it's probably fair enough, too, because Special from Noosa and Josh from Horsham, along with Michael from Brisbane and Tommy from Tamworth, Sounds like a bad joke with those four, doesn't it? But they've been our most regular contributors, I think it's fair to say.
Well, Michael from Brisbane's chimed in and said, yes. Last 2 weeks I've given you Mr. Tippler and Converge.
No, that is true.
This week it's Rubisaki to beat Dice Roll. We'll get to that race, which is one of the intriguing ones.
I think he might be on the money there.
A little bit of sting out of the ground, certainly going to help Rubisaki. All right, that's two races down. Let's get to
little
the third
three-way
tip-off,
Michael from Brisbane.
So it's a slow start to the Shark. There's not really much confidence in the first two races. Wonder if that will change in the third. Third, which is over the 1,000 metres. Express Pass, $2.90 favourite. Matty Cartwright takes 2 kilos off. Zorro's Dream for Mitch Friedman, $6. Modea, $7. They were down to Hidden Legend at $8.50. And Toff Love at $9.50. A little one here at a big odds that always runs well at Flemington down the straight.
I know what you're going to say.
Montenegro
Man. I like
$17.
It. No, it's a crazy price. That, I was going to say that. That's madness. That is utter madness. He is capable on soft ground. He probably doesn't want it too wet. Capable on soft ground. Only missed a place once in 5 first up runs and usually holds that effort second up. So he's reliable fresh. Does his best work early. I don't mind him. So I did think that was a little odd, $17 about that horse. I'd be happy to have a little speculative wager on him. He was first up on a heavy 8 at Flemington, going back May last year, according to my notes, and ran into Alpha Oro. So, you know, that's a tough enough assignment, fresh. And I don't reckon he wants it that super heavy. If we're soft 6, soft 7, Montenegro Man at $17 is far from the worst in this race. Far from the worst. I think Hidden Legend will improve,
yep.
Getting his toe into the ground.
It was hard to make ground at Caulfield.
It was. And he can be a little bit like that, little hit and miss first up. Second up, he tends to
back to
just
a
improve
thousand,
a bit.
Is that any concern?
On a wet track, it might just take the real spark out of some of the others. It might help him a little bit. I think he'll be okay. On a wet track, 1,000 metres, I think Hidden Legend will be okay. It's that sort of race where I could spec a couple of those at a price rather than charging into the favourites.
Are you ready to take on Express Pass?
Oh, I thought he was going to win last week. Right. I thought he was going to win last week. The blinkers go on. He backs up. Oh, I don't know. He could win comfortably. We all know the sort of talent that Express Pass has got. But two starts ago, he was in a race just like this, and he wasn't able to win. I think he's the horse now that probably has to race out of his class a little bit and just... Connections almost have to expect that you're not going to win every start. He needs that bit of weight relief to really go bang with that turn of foot.
All right, little each way play, Montenegro Man, race number 3 at $17. Let's get on to race 4 because we've got Richard Jolly on the line and Poised to Reign is one of the interesting runners of the day, I think. Dino declared it one of his better bets of the day after he was brilliant first up, Poised to Reign over in South Australia. When we know when Richard and Chantel Jolly bring them over, it's a mare, by the way, Poised to Reign, not a boy. They perform very well indeed. And they've got 2 in the float. And it's always great to catch up with Richard. How are you, Richard?
Good, thanks, Michael.
First of all, let's start with this Sepoy mare, Poised to Reign. She was breathtaking first up. It was a beautiful ride through the field, but she was strong to the line. Has she come back better than ever?
Yeah, certainly. She had a good break. She's always had a few problems and had quite a few injuries as a young horse and very hard to train and get her right, but certainly she came off a really good... We gave her, I think, 4 months off and the little issues seemed to work themselves out and that's the ability she's got on her day when she's so right.
Richard, getting weight relief, I know she's taking that little step up in class, but getting weight relief, Jamie Carr and another soft track, it seems like a perfect scenario for her to kick again and capitalise on that first up win.
Yeah, certainly. She's dropping 7 kilos and, I know she's going to a harder grade, but I always feel she's always been up to this level, but it's just her issues in the past have been holding her back and, we can keep her in that form, she certainly, she can go to a different level, I feel.
What do you do from that barrier? I know you've got the juniors of Jay Carr on board, but is it just go back and ride conservatively, come with one run?
Yeah, well, look, she's got no gate speed. She's always one of those mares that jumps low, so the barrier is probably of no significance in the fact that she's probably going to be back regardless, no matter where she drew. It's just a matter of just hopefully the track's racing to suit her and it's not a leader bias kind of track. But if I think that's a way to ride her, just make one run, and Jamie knows what she's doing, so we don't have to tell her too much. She would have watched her tapes and know how she raced.
You think she's up to Saturday Melbourne class, especially during the winter period?
Oh, certainly, yeah, against her own sex and mares grade, yeah, for sure. I've got no doubt about it whatsoever.
Richard, what can you tell us about Somewhat Fabulous in the first? That was a very strong win up near the speed at Morfettville. There wasn't a lot of support for her in the market, though. Did it surprise you a little bit, that performance?
No, what surprised me was the no support in the market. Like she had two public jump outs. The first one was, I'd say, okay. She was a bit green. And the second one, she jumped out straight to the front lead and was strong, just running through the line. And I don't know whether anyone forgot to watch the second one, but I certainly, told the owners that we thought she'd run really well, and it would be of no surprise if she went close to winning. And she was really professional on the day, and it was a good strong win. And we on the back of that, she pulled up well and didn't have a problem with taking on a stronger grade in Melbourne.
She's fairly inexperienced, just having that one start. How do you prepare a young horse with not a lot of street smart about them for a trip across the border to Melbourne? I know it's not a long way, 8 hours or so, but it's still a significant change of environment for them.
Yeah, it is. And I really think she's probably up to, coming back springtime. So I really thought we had her in at Murray Bridge. We could have taken her up there tomorrow, but I really thought the trip away is going to benefit her in the long run if she heads back in the spring. And she's a pretty relaxed filly. She's nothing seems to worry her. She eats well, and she's not highly strung at all. So it wasn't really a thought that it's really going to worry her. She got to Melbourne this morning, and Shane's looking after her, said she just put her head in the feeder straight away since she got off the float. So she's a nice, relaxed filly, and I think the trip, like you said, it's not a hard trip for them. They leave 6 o'clock at night, and she was there at 4 in the morning.
Well, if you've got spring ambitions with her, she's drawn to get a lovely run, you'd expect she'll be pretty hard to beat tomorrow.
Yeah, certainly. Look, it's the right time of year. It doesn't look overly strong kind of two-year-old race. And I really think she's going to hold her spot in that field from that draw. She'll go forward and, expect her to be highly competitive.
Sounds like we back both of your runners at headquarters tomorrow. You've got Spark up. Just one runner at Murray Bridge, race 4?
Yeah, just the one. He's been a frustrating horse. He's run four seconds, I think, beaten narrow margins quite a few times and beaten himself. He's a horse with plenty of ability, but he tends to, hang the winning post up in his box, I think, because he needs to see it a bit more.
All right, well, best of luck with Spark Up, and should we just take the double?
I can't see why not.
I like it. Good on you, Richard. Best of luck.
Okay. Thanks, Michael.
One thing you know is that they are always well graded when they come over here from South Australia. I think if it had drawn, and it's good to hear that from Richard, that the barrier is now not much of an issue, but how much speed is in this race? Is it going to be a race where you think a backmarker like Poised to Reign will be able to finish hard?
Look, there's a horse called Witchful Thinking in the race, and she goes at a genuine tempo, and we saw that from her last start. I think this is a race where you back the best closer and the best on-speed horse. I think Witchful Thinking is the best on-speed horse. I think Poised to Reign is the best closer. Now, they're relatively close in the market, 440 and 450, roundabout. You can still make a little profit on the race should you get it right. If that's the way the race plays out, at that price, you won't do too much damage backing two horses in the race. I'm thinking on a wet track, it might be handy to have a rock-hard fit horse on pace with others chasing, I've got Witchful Thinking just narrowly ahead of Poised Terrain. But I'll definitely be backing both horses.
All right. The Noblet stable is flying at the moment as well.
Since he's gone to Ballarat, you can just tell his horses are settled. He's worked the facilities out. Nobby could always train.
On the flat and the jumps.
He could always train. Very good trainer. You just feel like everything's clicking for him now.
Question. Hello, gents. Palmy any chance tomorrow?
You could if you're at the pub, I guess. You could have a palmy. I would call it a palmer, though. I don't know about palmy.
I think Gator's tipping palmy on top tomorrow.
Is he?
$9? Not for you?
Yeah, need to see a little bit more from palmy this time around. She's getting some weight relief on that last start. It's Sandow behind chassis. I thought it was just okay.
That's from Damien, a semi-regular contributor, who says, I'm happy to jump in this betting comp as well.
So this is gaining some traction, this.
Hey, now, we should...
I think what they do is they all send the money to me and I hold on to it.
I was going to say, does the house get a cut? Do we need to actually get some legislation to allow us to run this betting competition? Hi, guys. I've got one for you. Sunshine Coast today. Race one.
Oh, yes.
Number 5, Jibbed Each Way. What a good name for a horse.
I felt in the last same night watching race, Stradivarius.
I'm laying Victoria Park. Best lay since I gave you Trekking as lay of the year in the Winterbottom. That's Mikey from Bendigo. So, Sunny Coast, race one today, Jibbed Each Way, laying Victoria Park.
We need a new Queensland expert because the boxer, he's been given the Kyber. We're not getting the boxer back. He's been cold as ice. So, we need somebody else up there. So, this is his chance, Mikey.
Could be. Hey, this is, for mine, the most intriguing race of the day. The highlight for me, even though it's not the feature, is the David Burke. This is over 1,620 metres. We get to see Kiriburi, who's just been simply stunning. 4 from 4. Jay Carr on board. It's into $1.85.
Oh, that's short.
The form line stacks up because a certainty beaten La Chevrolet was in Sydney last week. De Grave, $7. Think and Fly, $7.50. Canane at $10. We had Mick Kent on Monday because, you know, Mick doesn't do any pre-race interviews with Superstition.
No.
We got him on Monday and he actually gave us his thoughts on Canane. So if you missed it, this is what Michael Kent has to say about Canane.
He's coming along well. He's had some issues, but he seems to be coping well with him at the moment.
Is he showing you the signs of the old Canane?
Yeah, look, he won't be the best since he gets to a trip, obviously, but look, he's had a really good break, he's filled up, he's had some bone bruising, that seems to have settled down. So looking forward to sort of getting to, we'll keep him at Flemington, a good surface, give him a couple of runs, and then if he sort of shows the form that warrants it, we'll freshen him up and get him ready for the spring.
If he was at his best, he'd be the price Kiriburi is in this race, but we haven't seen that for a long, long time. There's been specking at $10. Would you entertain Canane each way?
No, I want to see him do it again before I part with my hard-earned with Canane. The Graves scratched the other week, as we spoke about from that very heavy track. I wonder what the ground needs to be for the stable to send him out here. You know, that run to Armoury is better than anything in this race has produced. He is the benchmark on raw talent or best performance, I guess you could say. Probably more apt. But how ready is he? We haven't seen a jump out. We haven't seen a trial. The market on race day will probably tell the story, read De Graves. Kiriburi, fascinating little animal, this one. She's spent a lot of time at Leneva Park in her career. You look at her and you would not think she'd be a 4 from 4 horse with massive scope. She's unimpressive to look at, but there is a serious engine under the hood.
She seems to do it so easily.
She does. Yeah, she just kicks into that gear. She's there, lobs in a good spot in her races, which is half the battle. She's got enough speed without having to be banging right up there on pace. She just seems to relax into that box seat spot. She travels well. When she's asked to win, she goes and wins. She's not blowing fields apart, but the further they go, you think, they're not getting any closer to this horse. I am very keen to see how she goes up to a benchmark 90. They've foregone a couple of grades there to get her to this race. It's a gamble worth taking, though. Hard to beat. The other horse I want to look at in this race is Think and Fly. Second up record is very good. He was excellent at Caulfield, covered a heap of ground. Ollie just couldn't get him into any sort of position in that race. He kept staying on, wanted to chase, wanted to find the line. What price is he, Michael?
It's about $7.50, Think and Fly.
That'd be the. I'd probably be playing exactas around Think and Fly and Kurabui, and including De Graves if he looks fit enough in the yard. That's how I'd be attacking it.
What price would you back Kurabui at? It's $1.85
at the moment. I'd need better than $2.
Really?
With that step up in class. Yeah, well, I think that's a fair request. So far, she's beaten fillies and mares this time around.
Okay.
So and benchmark 70 fillies and mares. This is a benchmark 90 against all comers. She's running into a horse that's run close to Armory, who's run second in a Cox Plate. So it's a fair step up in grade for this horse. I think you need black figures to play.
All right. Kurabui can win, but from a punting perspective, Sharky likes Think and Fly at around about the 750.
Yeah, 1/2, I reckon you won't miss Think and Fly.
All right. Galaxy Raider, no?
It's Galaxy Raider. If he won, you'd think, yeah, righto, but I don't know.
He's
one for the rusted-on Galaxy Raider fans. He's Galaxy Raider. I think that's about it. His family would love him, and the rest of us just, meh. one of those blokes.
Let's take a break. Let's keep these SMSs coming through. We'll get to a few more after the break. There's a lot of interest in this punting competition.
This punting competition has got legs.
I'm not sure what we've started here. When we come back, it'll be the Quaddie at Flemington. I still want a couple of out wides up at Ipswich for the punters.
I've got a couple there, don't worry about that.
All right, that's all still to come on Friday. Form Focus, back with a Quaddie after this.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus. We've still got some tips floating through for all of the listeners out there. Hello, guys. If you need one late Saturday,
yes, we do.
Billy Ain't Silly in the Belmont Guineas, my best of the weekend. That's Mikey from Bendigo.
Mikey again.
It's been back.
Go, Mikey. One text per day.
$1.95. What about this one here? Morning. I've got one out wide for you, boys. It's the Geelong Greyhounds tonight.
This is what we want.
Race one.
The dishes.
Race one, number six. Let me have a look at what price this is. Geelong Greyhounds.
About time we got some dog mail.
Tonight, race one, number six, Jack Out. It's a $5 chance in a five greyhound race. $5 fixed odds. Tony Kilmore says
Tony Kilmore wins. Just wins.
So there's something to keep you entertained tonight.
Crikey.
Geelong,
what race, number
Geelong's,
six?
Race one. Geelong's got the double header. So you can go from the gallops to the greyhounds, and you can also have a little look at the Cats taking in on the doggy side. Big night in G-Town today.
I've got a dog coming up soon, with Dr. Turf. We own together and a couple of other friendly chums.
Keep us in the loop. All right.
Buckle up. She's good.
Never heard a bad one before it's had a run. Hey, race number one. First race of the quaddie is race number six. It's a 2,000-metre race. We can take out 10, 15, 18. Namakwa, well done. Dino Ramaruffi winning last start. A bit shorter today. It's $4.20. Mark Colt, $5. Now, Ruba, they want the rain to come, which it has, is at $5.50. Literati, Simon Wall gave it a good push yesterday, $9.50. And then we're down to Sweet Carolina at $10. And oh, so far, Mark Hunter gave that as his each-way play of the day at Flemington when we had him on yesterday. So it could be an open start to the quaddie. Who do you like, Shark?
I'm just looking at the dog race, trying to get on. There's a dog in that race. He's got to beat... Jack Out has to beat Sharka Big Tonks. I know it's one of your favourite dogs. Absolutely. Namakawa's pretty hard to oppose, isn't he? This is a quality handicap, and it's barely a benchmark 70. I think he did more than enough at Flemington last start. He easily handled Ruba. I know Ruba's got a weight turnaround on him. That's fine. We're on different ground here. That's probably the query. You know, he's one of those horses that I thought soft five, soft six, he'd be happy with that. Soft seven, if that's what we were racing on, I might have to have a little rethink, given that Ruba does prefer a bit more give in the ground. But he's a good starting point, Namakawa. Can I throw one at you here down the order? Number 13, Exalted Crown. It ran Turidan to a narrow margin first up back in April. Turidan won its next start and then at Warrnambool really well, and then was second at Sandown last week. It ran really well. Exalted Crown went to Warrnambool, got too far back on that track where it was impossible to make ground in a good race. I reckon that benchmark 73-year-old race, I think that'll produce a few subsequent winners. Forget the Adelaide run last start, blinkers on, 60.5. Got keen on Jess Eaton. She got caught wide. The horse just got pulling and basically ran itself into the ground. I think Exalted Crown is a really lively roughie in this race. I would have loved a better gate. 15 is difficult. It's difficult. Well, but it's an even sort of start to the quaddie. I could try something each way, Exalted Crown.
All right, $23. Now, Dino also gave a good chance to Myers Reward at $18 the nine.
Yeah.
So outside of the favourite, it could be a nice value first leg of the quaddie. What are your first
might be.
Leg quaddie numbers?
127, 12, 13.
127, 12 and 13. So the favourite, Namakawa into the 2, which is Ruba into the 7, which is Aznavour at $19, 12 Unique Artist at $14, and 13 Exalted Crown at $23. So leaving out Oh So Far and Myers Reward.
Well, you can include those if you like, and given the quality of judge that those horses have been touted by, I think you'd probably be foolish not to include them.
The feature of the day is the listed Creswick Stakes over 1,200 metres. Curran, $4.40. Snicker Doodle Dandy, $5. Pioneer River, who chased home Curran last start, $7.50 and $7.50 for Sir Davy. Leonie Proctor, this is what she had to say about the favourite.
It depends on what tides they're coming down the track. But look, I'm confident. The horse is very versatile. He can race sort of back. He can be up there, just depending on the pace of the race. He pretty much cruises along and just has one run at them, and as long as he gets a clear run at them, I'm sure he'll be doing his best.
I'm not surprised the money's come for Curran with its recent form. And when I spoke to Moods yesterday, he also said that Snickerdoodle Dandy is using this race as a...
Yeah, it's a little bridge.
A preparatory race. That's right.
Preparatory.
Preparatory. Well done from the teacher. Before the 1600 metre final in a couple of weeks. So he's
a little bridge.
Not saying he can't win, but the focus is she can't win in a couple of weeks' time. So if that's the case, Curran's still a decent price at $4.40.
Yeah, he is. What Curran has here is a 4 kilo climb up the handicap. And he's also at 1200 metres. Now, I know he's won and ran 3 seconds at 1200 in the past, but I would just like to see him really crush a race of this quality at 1200 before I want to charge into him. He's definitely in the quaddie, but I think there are a couple that we can work around against the favourite. Am I missing something here with Aiden's Field, number 11?
Well, first up, three-year-old filly. So
2 for 2 on wet ground. Has been twice stakes placed behind Night Raid, who we know is a good horse, and Odium.
Mm.
And really hit the line behind Odium as well. 1,000 guineas, sort of wheels fell off, and then she wasn't at her best in the autumn and tipped out straight away. So clearly had a little issue there out of the first
Glenn Ingram has said she's looked good at the jump out.
She has. She was $7 into $5.50 to win that Kevin Hayes. So they liked her that day. So I'm thinking something muscular might have stopped her in that race. Jump outs have been good. Again, we come back to that wet track form. She's effective at 1,200. We are getting $9 to find out each way. For the horse with arguably the strongest form in the race, I will have some of that, please. Aiden's Field each way, Michael.
$8.50 Aiden's Field is your play.
Mm-hmm.
Quaddie numbers?
Curran's definitely in it. Pioneer River number 4 is definitely in it. Aiden's Field number 11 is definitely in it. And can I introduce a horse called Sir Davy, number 7?
Yes.
Very well bred horse. He has a lot of ability. He's still quite raw physically as well as his racing pattern, I would suggest, to my eye anyway. Huge run at Warrnambool. Covered a lot of ground, was still there boxing on. Sensationalisation, just had the better of him late. The Sandown Lakeside win was very, very sharp. They don't often run on and win like he did at Sandown Lakeside. He ate up that ground late. I don't mind him back to 12, and I don't mind him with the blinkers on. I think he is a winning chance in the race. Just those four, that's all we need.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with that. If you're going to play multiples, throw Grant Pope in. Gee, it was a good push from Nick Ryan before at $34. But I think I'll be comfortable just taking those four in the quaddie. 1, 4, 11 and 7. Race number 8 is the Ryan Beattie Handicap. This is another of the better races of the day. Bandersnatch has come out, so that we lose a little bit of that Sydney form, that flavour. And now Dice Roll is into $3.80. Rubisaki, with the sting out of the ground tomorrow, is at $5. Now, did I... I'll stand corrected. Maybe you know Shark, or one of our listeners will know. I think I heard Dean say that maybe Yulong Jennery might be heading to Sydney for a race in a week or two. So we'll wait and see what happens there. It's drawn the car park, as has Odeon at $8. Biometrics in the field, it's drawn out wide. Arameo's drawn out wide at $14. So, gee, there's a few that have drawn really poorly in this race. What's the speed going to be like, Shark?
I think the speed is strong enough. Like Ciccone, Yulong January, Morrissey, horses like that are natural on speed horses, Titan Blinders from a wide gate. I think, and you know, we mentioned Yulong January in 16, so it's going to be coming across early. I think the speed's true. Again, wet track form is going to be key here. Dice Roll is very, very hard to oppose on what it's done in two starts in Australia to this point of the game. Now onto a wet track, which he's handled and won on in Europe. But first time we see him this prep on that ground. I think he's your natural starting point, but there are a couple of very smart wet track horses in this race. Rubisaki is one of those. Look at her record. You look at what she's doing this time around. Basically running on good fours and good threes, racing really well.
She's drawn to get another really good
She run. Will get all the favours from five. And with a soft track, you know, she's four from seven and 2 seconds there as well. Her only miss was in that proud miss when she had an off day. That's the only time she's been on soft on a rain-affected track and been out of the placings in 9 starts. So she rockets up the list. The other horse that I think has been ignored, and I could not believe the price it was when I looked yesterday midday, Romancer, number 3. Have we forgotten what he did first up?
Well, I know we want to forget what he did first.
I know he was 100-1, right? But this is a horse that is more than capable at Flemington. He is more than capable to listed grade. 1,400 metres, I would argue, is his best trip. He handles giving the ground. He has exceeded all expectations from what he's produced first up in the past, winning down the straight. Are we overlooking the obvious that Romancer might just be in for the prep of his life? And you're getting $19 to find out. Crikey.
All right.
That's you've got to take a little bit of that.
Do you?
I think you do.
All right. What about Arameo?
Aren't you going to? No, you don't like him?
I'm just... Romancer and I aren't getting on
take
after
emotion out of it. He ruined your life when he won that League of the Quaddie. Remove emotion out of it and just look at the sheer facts.
I think Dice Roll Rubisaki are better horses. So I would be backing them to beat home Romancer.
Well, I think you need to put Romancer in
over 1,400 metres, even though he won over 1,200 last start.
But again, the market's making us build a little book here at $3.90 and $5 and $19. Like you can build a little book around this race, Michael. How you can spend your 4 p.m. on a Saturday. That's what you'll be doing. You'll be chasing.
Would
I know
you throw you. Arameo in?
Arameo, I reckon grand final day is a calculated, educated, whatever you want to call it, assumption. I think Winter Championship is his grand final.
Okay.
1,600 is his go. He is at his best at that trip. Might be a little bit of a case of Snickerdoodle Dandy in the previous. This is the bridging race that he needs to get him to the Winter Champ. Absolutely frothing and ready to go.
Now, I think Dino might have given Harlech a good chance at 19.
I backed Harlech last start. I had something on Harlech last start. Good right. horse. But is he going well enough to beat a rampant wet track Rubisaki / Dice Roll / Romancer? Don't know.
All right. So numbers?
I'm going to trim this one right up.
You're going to back Romancer and Rubisaki?
I'm going to back all three. I'm going to back Dice Roll, Romancer, and Rubisaki. If I can't hit it with three, I'll give up.
A scattergun approach. Right.
It's not a scattergun. It's a very well thought out plan at this point.
At this point.
Now, the wheels may fall off, but I'm sticking to that plan at this point.
So, quaddy numbers.
We're going to trim up here. Three.
Romancer.
11.
Rubisaki.
13.
That's it.
That's it.
Dice Roll. All right. That's the Sharknado's numbers.
That's it.
And back them all. Race nine, the last race. And we take out the 14 here. Red Can Man, this is the former Sand Groper. Another good ride for Jamie Carr. He's pretty buoyant, David Brodeck, when I spoke to him earlier in the week. This is what he had to say.
Good horse.
Look, first time down the straight, no one knows. But I would assume that he goes as straight as an arrow. And I don't think there'll be any problem.
So, there we go. He's reasonably confident, reasonably keen. Would you take first up on a softish track over 1,100, $4.80?
No. I think we can shop a little bit better in this race. Traralgon, the trial win was very good, was strong, looked good. And he's a horse that's performed a really good standard in WA. So, it carries the colours of the great Stephen Wolfe, who a friend of mine, Berkey, is a true disciple of Stephen Wolfe, which is an odd person to be a disciple of. But anyway, he sees something in the Wolfe that others may not. He does get a lot of winners over there in Perth.
He does.
This is clearly his best horse for a little while. Sixth in a winter bottom, you'd think it'd be around the mark. Now, William Thomas, let's talk about him. Good wet track form, good fresh. Drawn the right side of the track, we would assume it'd be grandstand side or that sort of area. I think he's right in the race. Hal Vorsen, I think, is a must for the quaddie. I think I Am Someone, now that you're on a soft seven, genuine wet track with not much drying in it, if you look at his last 10 runs, there is a stark difference between what he can do on top of the ground and what he does on a wet track. And we saw him getting back to something like his best last time behind Zipping Boy a week ago. I think I Am Someone is a really lively roughie in this race. I think it's a little bit...
$14, I Am Someone?
I think it's pretty open this race.
So we're going a bit wider in this last leg?
Well, relatively speaking.
All right, well, give us those numbers.
1, 2, 4, 6, 8.
1, 2, 4, 6, 8. Red
the Rammer Ruffy Man goes in.
2, William Thomas. 4... is Hal Vorsen at a good price too. Hal Vorsen's at $18. 6, which is
I Am Someone
at $14. 8, the Ramaraffi High Stranger has been 19 into 14.
Mm-hmm.
So leaving out Montessera.
Yep, leaving it out.
Banquo.
Yep, leaving it out.
Leaving out Sartorial Splendor.
Yep, leaving it out.
Leaving out the Astrologist.
Leaving it out.
Leaving out Bless Her.
Leaving it out.
Okay.
It's risky, I know. But you know me, Michael. I like to take risks. I'm a risk taker by nature.
You are. And Matt from Vermont's been very quick on the text. I hope you know to damn blue eyes. If I can't hit it in three, I'll give up. Michael Sharkey, 9:57 a.m, 18th of the 6th. Matt from Vermont has notated that for the previous race. A few quick ones here. Bless Her, 1 by 3, each way all day. Damien.
Yep.
Sharkey, any chance of Furion on a wet track? Joe from Bendigo, first up.
First up. I'm not sure, Joe. He might need this little run, but you are right. You are right. Wet track is definitely in his favour. Last time we saw him on the wet was last spring, and I just thought he was a bit meek. I'd like to see something from Furion that says he's somewhere near his right form, because we haven't seen it for a little while. Although I will say he has had a stable change from Lindsay Park to Lindsay Smith, from one Lindsay to another.
One couple of quick tips before we get to wrap it up with Sharky. Boys, Donald tomorrow being trialling very well. Race 1, number 8, Mania. And race 3, number 11, Gunstock. That's from Ray, 4X Special. And there was another tip which I was going to mention. Now, Roeburn. I've never heard of this place.
Roeburn's in WA.
There it is. Race 5, number 1, into race 6, number 3. If you're in a pickle,
five,
back Chris Nickel.
One, race 6, number
That's
3.
That's from Ox at Ascot Vale.
Pickle on your nickel or something like that.
Yeah. So, Great White Shark, the Get Out Stakes tomorrow. Ipswich, race 9, Panino.
Yep.
Been Group 1, Group 2, Wait for Age races, back to Iron 6, down in
I'll
grade. Look out.
Down.
That is Fish in Seaford.
Ipswich Fish from Seaford, back.
Tomorrow. Now, have
my
you got,
nautical friend.
Have you got anything at Ipswich that you like tomorrow? The
no,
Ipswich
but I've got
Cup
three
and the
at Royal Ascot. I've got three at Royal Ascot for you. Do
oh,
you
hang
want
on.
Those?
Tonight?
Yeah.
Yep.
Race 1.
Yep.
Floatus.
Floatus, yes.
Yeah, you need to be...
$3.90, Frankie Dettori.
Right around it.
Race
it is
1, number 6.
Very smart.
Yes.
We are moving across to, as my screen updates, where is it? Race number 4. Number 9. Oh, I hate it when the Racing Post does that. Number 9, Potapova.
Oh, yeah, $15.
Very sharp horse. Sheveley Park. Well bred,
stout.
They've taken it through its grades. It's won by 7 and 8 lengths. I think it's very good. And then we are going over to race number. Oh, please be the right race. That's the wrong race. Race number 6. Oh, Racing Post. You are the bane of my existence.
The Duke of Edinburgh Stakes.
The Duke of Edinburgh Stakes. Race 6, number 9, RD.
RD.
I expect it will be winning.
Simon and Ed Crisford.
James
Doyle, and it is $6.
Yeah.
So race 6.
Going the right way.
Number
good
9.
Win last time.
All right. We'll put them out on Twitter as well, the Royal Ascot Mail. Best at headquarters.
Best at headquarters. You know what? I think Aidensfield, given her quality, at $9 each way, I reckon that's the best. I reckon that's the play. Because I can't be saying two horse bets are
all right. There you go.
Best race. No, I think that's the way we go. Just lock onto Aidensfield.
Loving the interaction, the
yes,
tips on social
good.
Media. But our old mate, he was up. Maybe he wilted under the pressure. Joshy from Horsham.
Yeah.
We were going to get him on head-to-head with the Shark. We've heard nothing. So I hope he's okay. But
maybe Special from Noosa's got at him.
We'll see. We'll see
maybe
how you
he's
go.
Nobbled him.
Hey, we've got to run.
Tonya Harding sort of stuff.
Good luck tonight at Royal Ascot. Good luck over
You'd
the
be
weekend.
Capable of that.
Punters,
good on you, Mike.
Don't go anywhere because H. White's got all the winners coming up for Geelong after this.